Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Christopher John O'Shea, a regular on the show.
That's me, sir.
But you're going to become irregular.
I hope not.
Well, you said you were going to become less regular.
Well, I've always been a little different than most. But yes, we're going to allow others like Maddie, a rising star, to come on and be on the show and some others. But it's great to be here with you. Well, you're the constant. You're the one who's here every week. You've put your heart and soul into this for, is it 14 years now you're back on?
It's 14 years since we've been back on. And we had a seven-year stint in the, no, it was only 5 years, 1993 to 98. Came back in 2007, and here we are today in 2021 still doing it and having much more fun than we were back in the 90s when we spent more of our time talking about investments, you know, like Jim Cramer, you know. We thought we were the Jim Cramers, you know, but, you know, Cramer's all BS, you know. Everybody knows that.
He's entertainment.
He's entertainment, but if you listen to his recommendations and things he says, you're not going to make any money. And that's the way people who talk about investments, and we had to come to that realization ourselves. But where you really help people is providing truly comprehensive professional advice about taxes, about estate planning, about insurances, about retirement planning.
Investments, and that's speculation.
Investment theory and investment concepts and understanding the principles and so forth. You know, these are the things that help people, not sitting around saying, no, I think, you know, this one's going up through the moon, you know, and stuff like that. Ba-bang, whatever he says. What's he say?
I have no idea. I haven't watched him in literally forever. It's been 15 years.
But anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question, you know. And you know what happens is some people call in early and they get the most time, and then all of a sudden the lines jam up in the later part of the show, and when they do, I gotta rip through the calls and so forth. So if you're out there thinking of something that you wanted to ask and have always wanted to ask, and you get the courage up to make that phone call, give us a call now, 410-922-6680, if you want to call and ask a question. And Chris, last week we had Maddie on the show. She's clearly a rising star in our company, young professional who is now studying to be a certified financial therapist, understanding the psychology of money. Because as we've said many times, the way you think about money will determine everything you'll do with and for money. That's the foundation of all financial planning, is understanding a client's thinking, not trying to just hammer into them what you think is great financial advice. Because if you do that, you're never going to be successful with but 20-30% of your clients, because people think different. And, you know, you got to understand, why are they thinking the way they're thinking? And if it's wrong thinking, you have to be able to help them to understand why the basis of what they're believing, it could be incorrect, and lead them into the truth. And that's not that easy. It's easy to say, it's not easy to do. And there's tons of examples we could give. But every time we'd start off with a retirement seminar, we teach that principle to everyone. What you think about money is going to determine everything you're going to do with and for money.
And attitudes about money aren't easily changed.
That is true. You know, and the thing I was going to say, though, is Maddie's not the only rising star of the advisors in our company. We have three or four young advisors that are coming up studying for their certifications and so forth that are really going to be, you know, they're going to be some of the leaders in this industry, no doubt. They have the the capability of being leaders in this industry. And I mean, some of our past rising stars, like Mike McCarthy, who's now the president of the Financial Consulate, or Graham Ewing, who, you know, is the head of financial planning. I mean, these guys are only, you know, just barely in their 30s.
Right. We don't always just point to Chuck Bender, who's 10 years younger than we are, to say, hey, well, who comes behind us? We point to these guys who are in their 30s, right?
Yep.
Who, you know, have been doing it for, Graham 8 or 9 years, Mike 13 years or so that he's been with the company. And so, yeah, it's just great to be around the energy.
Yeah, the young people are bringing incredible energy, new thoughts, new ideas, and new dynamics to the firm. And so tonight, Chris, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. You know, maybe it's your voice, Chris, because when Maddie was here last week, they were calling in left and right, you know?
Sure. Well, again, people just know. Right? People just know.
It actually was slow for the first 15 or 20 minutes.
That's
and
okay.
Then it picked up.
No, wait a minute. You're giving me grace there? Nah, I don't want that. Come on now. Yeah, we're the markets did a big nothing, really, in the end to the Federal Reserve today.
The markets are so silly, you know, and people, you know, and people call us up all the time and say, well, the inflation coming, we got to get ready for the inflation coming. Well, if you know inflation is coming, then there's probably no inflation coming.
Right.
That's the hallmark of investments. If everybody knows inflation is coming, then probably there's no inflation coming. And
yeah, because the market is looking so far ahead, right?
Yeah.
Market, I mean, how often did people say to us last year, you know, I've been thinking about this a long time about markets and making observations. And wait a minute, things are getting worse here, or things are really bad still with COVID, with this pandemic, and yet the market is going up. I don't understand it.
And that's the way markets work. Markets think 6 months to a year ahead.
Yep.
And if the markets were worried that inflation was coming in a big way and it was going to be chronic like it was in the 70s, the market would not be doing well right now. And it would have started this when nobody believed that there was any inflation possible. And everybody would have been talking about, you got deflation. Why is the market so concerned about inflation? You know, just like you say, last year, everybody was worried about the end of the world. And the market was saying, I don't think so. I'm looking out to the future. And the future says it looks pretty bright.
Yeah,
and here we are a year later, and the market was right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got to take a pause with traffic. But while we're on this traffic pause, feel free to call in 410-922-6680. I'll have to talk to Chris all night.
Well, we've been talking to each other for 50 years, Andrew, so
that's true.
We can
continue. I'm stuck with you, yes. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. This is Drew Tignanelli here with Chris O'Shea. We're on an open show tonight. That means you're the guest. You get to call and ask questions and direct a conversation in an area that would be helpful to you. And Chris...
Yeah, we've got several open phone lines, but we do have two callers on the line. So let's go to Rebecca in Pennsylvania, wants to talk about bonds. What can we do for you, Rebecca?
Well, first, my feminine voice, I thought, would help you out.
And the other there you go.
We appreciate
Thank you.
That.
You're welcome. And the other thing is, I have a question about bonds, because my late husband was very good. He took a business course, everything. I did not realize, and I know this is going to sound like assume whatever what that means, but the Federal Reserve Bank not only sets the rate for the bonds, but also buys the bonds. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, you're sort of wrong and you're sort of right all at the same time. So the Federal Reserve...
That's how my life is, yes.
So the Federal Reserve doesn't set the rate, but they buy bonds to try to influence the rates. And they do control one rate. It's called the overnight federal funds rate, okay? And the discount rate. Those are the only rates they totally control and say, we're going to keep, the discount rate is the cost of money borrowed from the Federal Reserve. Very few people ever do that. So don't even think about the discount rate. The other one they set is the federal funds rate. That's the one where when PNC knows they have to have a certain amount of cash at the end of the day to prove to the comptroller of the Treasury that they've got enough money to meet their obligations. If at the end of the day they feel they're, $1 billion short or something, they got to go out to the federal funds market, borrow that money overnight to show them that they've got the cash in their accounts. And then the next day they settle back up with the people. And if they're still short the next day, they got to do it again. And that's interbank lending night to night. Okay. And the Federal Reserve tries to control that rate to say, we want it. And right now they're saying we want it to be between 0% and 0.25%. Now, when they do that, the United States Treasury bill should come down in line with that. And so by setting that federal funds rate, they kind of influence the Treasury bill rate. But the Treasury bill doesn't have to follow what the Fed is doing. Now, then the Fed also can go in and start buying Treasury bills to keep the rate down if it starts moving up. So the answer to your question is yes, they do control some interest rates,
yeah.
But no, they don't control interest rates. And they can influence the market because they have the ability to buy bonds and so forth. So it's a correct statement and not all at the same time.
I gotcha. Can I ask you one more question?
Yep.
Are there still savings bonds available if I wanted to teach like my nephew or my niece how to buy bonds?
Yes, you can buy Series Double E bonds for $50. It'll mature into 100, but they're variable now as to how they will. But there is a Series I bond. That is an excellent bond, but I believe, Chris, the minimum purchase of an I-bond is, you might be able to buy I-bonds.
Minimum purchase electronic is $25. Paper is 50.
For an I-bond?
Yes.
And the I-bond right now is, yielding 3.4% or something ridiculous?
3.54%.
3.5.
How would I get that? Would I go through a
You would just go online and go to treasurydirect.gov.
Okay.
Treasury Direct. Just do a Google search for Treasury Direct. You can buy them online. Okay, Rebecca? Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca.
Conversation. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. All right, Andrew. We've got three more calls. We're going to go to them in order here. Number one, we've got John in Owings Mills. John, you want to talk investments. What's on your mind?
It's about how you decide when to sell a stock that's had a big gain. Now, in this particular example, in the last year, we had a catalyst, the virus and then reopening plays. So you had a whole series of stocks, Trade Desk, Etsy, Mercado Libre, Zoom, Shopify, Roku, a whole series of them have huge run-ups. They're good companies. They're going to last. They're not going out of business. They're going to be solid. But the stock price ran way up above the actual value and has come back down 30, 40, 50%. Still way up from where it was, but it's come back down a lot.
So the way you got to deal with that, John,
you know when to sell.
John, the way you've got to do that, John, is you got to determine what do you feel the long-term value. So the way a great investor is looking at it, they want to hold it as long as they can. Anybody who's trading stocks on a yearly basis even isn't really a great investor. All the great investors we've ever seen have been people that buy and hold a stock for a long period of time. Okay, now, there are exceptions. Renaissance Partner buys and sells daily, and they've got the greatest rate of return ever in the history of investing. But the great investors typically are like the Peter Lynch's and the Warren Buffett's, et cetera. They buy a stock and tend to hold it forever. So your question you're going to be asking yourself is this company's valuation at a place today that there's no way in the next 2, 3, 4 years that their revenue could grow enough to justify the price of this stock? And if you have a valuation that says that, that's a reason to sell. You also want to be looking at, do you have momentum in both earnings in the company? In other words, their earnings continuing to accelerate into year quarter over quarter? And do you have a momentum in the stock price? So that's another way that people will determine as to how long they want to own a company. But really, the concept comes down to, do you have a moat around this company that nobody's going to be able to easily compete with them? And I'll give you an example, a lesson I learned a long, long time ago. It was like 1988. Client calls me up and says, hey, there's this new company out there called Microsoft, and they're selling at this, this price, and I want to buy some. And I look at the stock and I go, you crazy? That thing's selling at like 300 times earnings. It's just going up and so forth. Obviously that was the stupidest recommendation I think I've ever made in my life to a client. And because they had an incredible moat around the company. Here it is, 2021, and that moat is still heavily around that company. So you have to look at it from the valuation point of view, the momentum point of view, and you have to look at it from what is the ability of other competitors coming in and attacking this company. All right, John, good question. I like the thought process.
Yep,
there.
Thanks for calling. Take care. Okay, we're going to go to Ray, see what we can do here.
We only got about a minute, Chris.
That's right. Ray, you can stay through the call, through the break if you like, but you want to talk investments. What's your question?
So my wife and I don't have $1 million to invest. You know, we're paycheck to paycheck type of people. We've probably got less than $100,000 in our 401ks combined. You know, what kind of advice do you give somebody in this kind of a situation where, you know, you don't want to scrimp and save every dollar, you want to be able to enjoy your life, but you also know that you're pushing 50 and you have to find a way to make some money for retirement?
So, you know, the way I like to answer that is you've got to live for today, but you also have to be confident tomorrow is going to show up. And so the first thing I would do is do an analysis to determine how much money you need to save that at 65 or 70 at the latest, you're going to have enough to retire on with everything. And whatever it's going to take to hit that number, that's what you're going to have to do it. You know, so I love cash flow analyses. In other words, cash flow analyses tell me exactly how much money's coming in. And are you wasting money? In other words, if I have to hit a goal and I have to increase my savings by, let's say, 50%, I've got to live for today, yes, my friend, but I also have to be confident tomorrow's going to show up. And, so do an analysis, do a very thorough retirement analysis and determine, are you going to be secure when you're 65 or at the latest 70 years of age financially? And if the answer is no, you are not saving enough to do that, then you need to figure out every way, shape, and form to do that at the same time without putting yourself into ridiculous austerity.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. All right. Thanks for calling.
I mean, I don't have a magic button for him that he could buy ABC stock and make a fortune.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, okay, we've Bob, just from Aberdeen, hold on with us through the break, but we've got to take another pause for traffic, and we'll be back right after that.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Everybody knows that's the Eagles, Chris.
Well, of course you do. Andrew, I know that's your that's your favorite band.
Right? Yeah, right.
Orleans, sure. 77, maybe. So anyway, we have Bob in Aberdeen. Thanks for holding. And we've got several open phone lines beyond that. 410-922-6680 is our number. Call on to ask us a question. Bob, thanks for holding on. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a question for my brother-in-law. He just turned 60, and his wife passed away a few years ago. When would he be eligible to draw off her Social Security?
Is he still working?
Well, he's not really working right now.
Well, okay, so the answer is that he can draw immediately at age 60, but he's going to get about a 35% discount from what he would get if he waited until he was full retirement age for him, which would be 67, okay? So if he doesn't mind the discount, he can go and apply for it right now. But if he wants to maximize his survivor benefit, he should take it now. Does he have his own Social Security record also?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this is a really cool strategy, okay? So here's what I would suggest he think about doing, all right?
Okay.
And this is contingent on that over the next 6 years, he never makes more than $18,000 or $19,000 per year of earned income going to work. Okay, right. He can earn up to $19,000 a year and keep his entire survivor's benefit from Social Security. So he goes in and he applies now for his spouse's Social Security. He goes and if he wants, he works part-time and makes $15,000 or $18,000 or $19,000 per year. And then when he turns 70 years of age, he goes back in and reapplies for Social Security for his own benefit, which is now maximized to the ultimate extent it could go to. And from age 70 on, he collects his own benefit, which is going to be maximized to the highest number it can get to. That's the strategy I would think about with him if he were in front of me and I had all of his data. That's what I would be thinking about.
But he's going to take a 35% cut if he does it now.
But remember, he's going to be maximizing his own benefit. Who made more money, his spouse or him?
His spouse.
The spouse. His spouse made the majority of the money.
Yes.
So then, yes, he will be hurting himself by taking a 35% discount on the higher of the two. Now, the survivor benefit maximizes at his full retirement age, which is 67. It does not go all the way up to age 70 like his own benefit will. So no later than 67, and he can start immediately now. If he waits until he's 61, I think he gets like a 30% discount. And I don't remember exactly how the numbers work, but I think it's like 5% a year every year he waits. All right?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, my friend. Good question.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, thanks for calling, Bob. Okay, we are blank slate. Tabula rasa.
We are empty.
No phones. Nobody on the line.
410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask your question. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question and direct the conversation. Something that's really beneficial to you. Like, you know, he was calling in for his brother-in-law. He had something. He said, if you can help me with this, this is great, you know. And other people called in and asked questions about investments. And some people called in and asked questions about bonds, you know, and so forth. So,
you know, yeah, exactly right, Drew. And one of the things you talk about, Social Security, I was talking to somebody, when was that? Within the last day or two. And saying it's still over, you know, 50% or more people start collecting at age 62.
And that's ridiculous,
right,
you know.
Some have to, but
If you have to.
Right, but many others don't necessarily need to. They just think that, I was talking to somebody yesterday who thinks that Social Security is going to be taken away at some point, right? So there's just a lot of people who have those feelings.
It's really bizarre.
Right, so don't make that decision on what you think. Tell them what's your position on Social Security.
They print the money. Why do you think that the people who print the money aren't going to be able to make the payment to you that they say they're going to make? So, but here's a lot of people think, Chris, that Social Security has no strategies anymore, that President Obama took them all away, et cetera, et cetera. But there's still a strategy out there to use. Right. You get to be your full retirement age. And you go in, so let's say I turn 66 in 6 months, my full retirement age. So let's say I'm 66 in 6 months today. I would go into Social Security and I'd say, hey, I want to file for Social Security. Oh, but by the way, I don't want to actually take it right now. I just want to file today. And so that's called file and suspend. Now everybody says, well, they did away with file and suspend. No, they did away with my spouse collecting off of me when I filed and suspended.
Right.
But they didn't do away with file and suspend. So why would I do that? So I went in at 66 in 6 months and I file and suspend. And then I turned 70 now and I'm going in to collect my full benefit. I've got options. I got option number one is take the maximum benefit at age 70. Option number two is to take a 6 month retroactive monthly check. So I could say, hey, instead of giving me my full benefit at age 70, give me what it would have been at 69 and 6 months. And I get a lump sum check, and I still get almost a fully maximized monthly check. And then lastly, the file and suspend is the cool part. Let's say my health and my spouse's wife, health had deteriorated dramatically. I can go in now and I can say, hey, we don't think we're going to be able to live more than a few more years. So give me a lump sum all the way back to age 66 and 6 months, and I'm going to get a check for like 3.5 years of benefits and a lump sum check. And my monthly check from that time will be go back to what it would have been at my full retirement age. But just think about that option that it gives me in case something happens in that 3 or 4 year window when I'm waiting to maximize my check that I didn't expect to happen. So anyway,
That's a great point, and I bet you that 99% of the people did not know that that was a fact. Okay, we've got a couple people. We've got Bob in Lutherville. We're going to go next, and just some general financial advice. Bob, what's your question?
Yes, I'm 70, still working. My wife's another 68, still working full-time, both of us. And I waited to 70 to start getting my benefits so they'd be maxed out. It's like $3,500. Wife took half of mine because we were born between 50 and I was 50, 54. Long story short, anyway, what the problem is, I took 22%. That's the most that they'll take out for taxes because we're really getting slammed with both of us working. We're getting Social Security and with taxes, we had to write a check for like $8,000. And we're taking no deduction, no exemptions all year round. In fact, they take an extra $100 out of my check every week. Is there any other kind of things we can do to not get hit so bad with taxes, or is it just because we're both, because of the two incomes?
Well, there are lots of things. That's why we constantly talk about, and that's why our commercials talk about, a true financial advisor should be a tax expert. And that's why, there's lots of cool things you can do. But unless we knew your situation, we can't, we can't just go and say, hey, this is what you ought to do. Because, there's so much money that people waste on taxes that they shouldn't be wasting on. But they think that their tax preparer is giving them tax advice. But most tax preparers don't give tax advice.
I know we've had the same advisor for 30 years, and he doesn't pretend to be a... She says to find somebody, give me your hours. This is not like a commercial for you, but where are you located? We're in Lutherville. Where are you located?
We're in Hunt Valley. And but we work with clients all over the nation. We have clients in 32 states in the country. We do a lot of virtual meetings as well as in person. So it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in Timbuktu, and we can help you lower your taxes. That's what we do, and that's what we love to do.
Well, I'll make my question fast, and you can give me your phone number. We'll call you, when you're off the air. What is your phone number to set up an appointment?
Go ahead, Chris.
It's 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-7283.
And I guess I would appreciate to say you guys are fiduciary.
Absolutely. We're totally independent, fee-only fiduciaries at all times. We cannot not be. We're a fiduciary under like four different regulations, the SEC, NAFA, the CFPs, and the CPAs. All four of them force us to be more than just fiduciaries, well beyond what anybody in this industry.
Not selling products the way that we would make
We have no licenses. We have no licenses to sell any products to anyone. We don't take referral fees. We don't take commissions. We're fully fiduciaries, fee only at all times, my friend.
Okay, we'll try to call you when you're off the air sometime, make an appointment.
Yep. And, you know, Chris, before you go to the next pause, he was a great caller, and he wasn't a plant either. But that's why we do the financial physical. And we don't charge you for the physical until you go through the full process. And when you see the final product, that's when you say whether you want to buy it or not. And we do that because we want people to understand we know we're going to be able to prove to you that what we do is very different than anybody else in the industry. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, great. Well, we have Mark and Tim. If you could hold on through the break, we're going to have to go to that traffic information right now.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Chris, let's rock and roll.
Let's do that. We still have an open line or two, 410-922-6680. Let's go to Tim. Tim, you want to talk about Social Security?
Well, yes. I heard something that I wasn't sure if I heard it correctly, but I retired from the gas and electric company, and then I went with the state, Department of Public Safety.
Okay.
I took an early retirement from them at 64 and at the same time applied and received Social Security. In February, I turned 70. Am I entitled to anything more in the way of Social Security compensation now that I've turned 70?
No, because you started to collect at 64, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, and you were collecting your own benefit at 64, right?
Yes, sir.
You weren't collecting off a spouse. You weren't collecting off of a deceased spouse or anything of that sort, which you know, at your age, you would have been able to do if you had ever been married. But if you did not and you collected on your own benefit at 64, then you're already got it. You got it discounted as opposed to maximized if you would have waited until 70.
Correct. That's why when I was listening to the show and I heard that guy that was on earlier, that you know, you were talking about, you know, I didn't think I was entitled to anything else, but
the other person had a spouse that was deceased. And so he could go in and collect on his survivor benefit for his deceased spouse and then go back when he's 70 and get a maximized benefit on his own account. And that, or, you know, that's just one of two strategies that can be used. That survivor strategy is still available to anyone. It's not like the other one that you had to be born before 1954 to participate in. But, you know, good call. Good question.
Thanks, Mr. Tig. Take care.
Take care, my friend.
All right. We're going to go to Ray in Bowie. Wants to talk Social Security also. Ray, what's on your mind?
Yeah. it's the same theme as the one prior to my call. So the strategy is that if my wife, when I retire, if she draws off of my record, then she can all wait and not.
No, Ray, hold on, Ray. Ray, yeah. Well, how old, what year were you and your wife born?
She's 57, I'm 58.
So you have no option. If you go in to collect, you know, and the other one's already collecting, they're going to force you to take the higher of the two, either half of yours or, I mean, half of your spouse's or your full benefit, whichever one is the maximum. It's called deeming, and that was the change in the law for people who were born after January 2nd, 1954. So you and I'm born in the same year, 57. I have no benefit of the old strategies that you could do where I could collect off half of my spouse's until 70 and then maximize my own benefit. Now, nope, no choice. If I go in and collect, whatever's the higher of the two benefits, that's the one I have to take.
Now, I understand for me, that's the case. So my spouse, the same thing. If she, when let's say we both go at 65 and she collects half of mine because it is the higher amount, so she doesn't have that option at 70, is saying to...
Well, no, she doesn't have the option at 70 to do that. But what she could do is, let's say her benefit was the smaller of the two, okay? And it's really relatively small as compared to half of yours. And this is what my spouse did. My spouse's benefit was only like $600 a month, whereas half of mine is going to be like $1,600 a month. So when she was like 63 or 64, she started to collect. She said, why shouldn't I collect a small benefit now? And then when she turned, when I turn full retirement age or older and I start to collect, she'll go back in and collect half of mine. So that's a strategy you can use, but there,
okay.
It's...
That was going to be my next question. Because I was trying to find that out from the Social Security website, but you can't, there's nothing on there that tells you that. So my wife can collect that at a younger age.
On her own account, because it's smaller than half of yours, okay? But, and because you're not collecting. So as long as you're not collecting, she can go in and collect her own benefit, because that's the only one that'll be available to her. And then when she's her full retirement age, and it's very important she waits until her full retirement age, not 70, she goes back in and takes half of yours.
Okay.
Now, that's very important that you hear what I said. She goes and collects her own benefit at 62, 63, or 64, where when you have not claimed, and then she goes back in at her full retirement age and collects half of yours.
And that's legal in the Social
Security. That's legal in the system, yes, but that's the only way, and it's not a great benefit. It is a benefit to some degree, but it's not a great benefit. I wished I had time to really go into the full detail of why it's not going to be, other than just give you some extra cash flow before without impacting the full spousal benefit that she'd get.
Yeah, I don't want her to lose the opportunity to get half of mine when I retire. So you're saying she wouldn't lose that opportunity.
Well, what she'll do, let's say, you know, let me try to do this in 2 minutes, okay? So let's say your spouse's benefit would have been $800 a month at full retirement age, but she goes in at 64 and decides to collect it now, and so it's discounted, and it's discounted back to, let's say, $650 a month, okay?
Right.
Now, she goes back at 67, which is her full retirement age based on the ages you told me. She goes back in at 67. She once says, I want to collect half of my spouse's, okay? And they say half of his would have been $1,600 a month, okay? Well, she already started to take $800 a month, which was discounted back to $650. They'll take your $1,600, subtract her $800 from it, which is discounted back to $650, and then take the other $800 of your half of your benefit, put the two together, and give her $1,450 a month because she already discounted $800 a month of her benefit. Did I make that clear?
It's very, I don't know why the Social Security system is so complicated.
But well,
I know you don't have any other more time, so thank you for answering my question.
Feel free to call next week, and I'll go into more detail for you, okay?
All right, thanks,
Ray. All right, buddy.
Okay.
All right, bye. It's a good question, Chris.
It is. We are about out of time there, Andrew. Another hour has just flown.
Yep. You know, I'm going to just get on a horse here about the financial consulate, if you don't mind, Chris.
Hey.
And that is that, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize they go to the Edward Jones and the Raymond James and the Ameriprise and the Morgan Stanleys and the Merrill Lynches of the world, and they get financial advice. But what they're getting is nothing more than sales advice. And companies like the consulate are coming on now giving professional advice. And people are learning the difference. Anyway, Chris, we'll talk more about that another time.
All right,
this,
sir.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.